This extraordinary piece of artwork was not pulled off the wall of the Museum of Impressionist Artwork. This was actually done by one of our young artists back in kids' ministry. So one Luke Wilson drew this. It is a family portrait. This is the family Wilson zombies. Yeah. I don't know about you, but if my daughters would have drawn this, or my grandchildren, it would have gone one place and one place only. That's on my refrigerator door. We're in a sermon series called Your Picture. Your picture is on God's refrigerator. Your picture is on His refrigerator because He not only loves you, but He delights in you. And that's why it's there. We're going to continue that theme in a different way today. We're going to talk about your heavenly dad. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from each of you. And yes, we're talking about prayer. So, first question. Do you remember the first time you ever prayed? Anybody? The first time, was it your, maybe just recently, maybe it's back when you were a kid. Can anybody recall that first time, that first prayer? Anybody? Huh? Okay. How old were you? Okay. All right. Remember? Yeah. Where were you? Where were you? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah? All right. That's great. Next question. Can you remember the first time someone prayed with you? That first prayer that someone prayed with you or prayed alongside you. Well, I have some very vivid memories of prayer growing up, even at a young age. I distinctly remember Dad praying at the dinner table, right? Yeah, Mom didn't start praying until the 60s, right, or 70s. But anyway, prayer at the dinner table. I also remember these special occasions. I remember one time we moved out of our old house. It's a very small 1,100 square foot house. And we moved into this palatious 1,500 square foot home. All right, so my sister got her own room. I got my own room. Mom and Dad got their own room, right? So we're walking. Dad's touring us through this new house we're going to move into. And it doesn't have electricity yet. It's not quite finished. So there's no power. So Dad has to strike a match and he's walking us through our house, right? This room. Here's your room. One of us has to do something in one of the rooms, and so we pit stop in one of the rooms, right, and do business. And strike another match. So after that business is done, Dad says and declares, I'm going to pray and bless this house before we move into it. Right there with match in hand in the throne room of that house, he blesses the house. I'll never forget that. What a memory. What a memory of that. A few years later, age 13, I remember a young man, a youth pastor in our church, sat me down and walked me through a prayer acknowledging my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I'd prayed the prayer before in my mind, but he took the time to pray with me. And at that moment, prayed the prayer, just a few days later, got baptized. Never forget that. What a moment. About a year and a half later, well, here's the lead pastor. And he pulls me aside along with my friend Jay Houck, right? And he says, boys, we need to go pray. And we're thinking, oh, what do we do this time? We're in trouble. So he pulls us into the sanctuary, doesn't sit us down. We kneel down. So we know it's kind of serious. We kneel down to pray. He says, now, boys, I'm going to lead you through this prayer. I want you to seriously ask God and consider whether or not He's calling you to be a preacher. We're just frozen in time. Frozen in time. Those things I'll never forget. They're difference makers. And you too have had difference makers in your life. Not just the prayers that you've made, but people that have walked you through or been with you in prayer. Well, look. Prayer is powerful. Yes, prayer matters. Yes. But your Heavenly Dad wants to hear from you. And that's the message today. Books, volumes, podcasts, all kinds of things on prayer. All kinds of things you can hear on prayer. But your Heavenly Dad wants to hear from you. I want to give you three verses right now. Three verses verifying this. One is Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried for help. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before Him into His ears. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for I heard His voice, for He has heard my cry for mercy. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to His will, He hears us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Dad, thank You, You hear our prayers. Thank You, You hear me in my time of distress. Thank You, You hear my pleas for mercy. Thank You, Your ears are inclined to our hearts. God, help us right now to hear You. We pray this, God, in Jesus' name, amen.
I can't tell you that it won't come true.
Okay, it's not like blowing out your birthday candles.
All right, I prayed for Mrs. Donnelly. You know, the one who broke her hip?
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, and I prayed for these Gucci shoes I love to go on sale.
What?
Yeah, they're black with these silver strappy things, but they're a little out of my price range, so, you know.
You can't pray for shoes.
Why not?
Because you're not supposed to pray for petty things.
Well, at church today, I prayed for my raise, and I got that.
That's what you were praying for? Okay, you obviously have no idea what you're doing here.
An extra $100 a week says I do.
Okay, how can I explain this to you? Let's pretend I'm God. Well, gee, I'd love to end world hunger, but I'm too busy looking for cheap shoes for Carrie. Oh, well.
Okay, you know what? I believe that you can pray for the important things, and you can also pray for the not-so-important things. God's a pretty bright guy. He can figure it out.
Well, that's how you think it works.
Yeah, that's how I think it works.
Okay. You have no idea what you're talking about. You don't even know how to pray right. You're kneeling by the bed like a five-year-old.
I will pray any way I want to.
Fine. Pray the way you want. You want to look like a moron.
What is your problem?
My problem is you're using God as your own personal genie.
I am not.
You are, too. You think that if you want a pair of shoes, all you got to do is pray for them, and poof, they're new shoes. Well, that's not the way it works, okay? This does not equal this.
I'm sure you know someone who's prayed a magic prayer genie, and it actually happened. Maybe you prayed the magic prayer genie, and it happened as well. But for all those types of prayers, many, many others, silence, right? And it wasn't for Gucci shoes. It's for something that really mattered to you, something important. You pray for someone who was sick. They didn't get well. You pray for that marriage that's not doing so well, get fixed. It's still broken. Up to my ears in debt, God help me get out of this debt. Still struggling. Do you ever get to the point where you're thinking, you know, maybe I'm just doing it all wrong. Maybe I got it all wrong. Maybe I got the wrong formula, saying the wrong words. Do I kneel? Do I stand? Do I say it in my head? Do I say it out loud? Hand motions. Am I doing it right? Is there a right way to do this? What is it after all? Great question. Anybody been there? Yeah, all been there. Fortunately, we have help. Our God knows us and He knows we need help. We need help in how to pray. And so, in spite of all the volumes of books out there, all the podcasts, all the things we have, all the resources we have, I'm going to point us to one thing today, and that is the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus leads His buds in prayer. So let's go to Luke chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. So Luke 11, 1 through 5. And I am, in fact, going to be reading in the New King James Version. I think you can still follow along in whatever version you're using. But I think New King James captures what the prayer is all about. Verse 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place, praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Before we go through this prayer, my question is, why did the disciples ask Jesus how to pray? These were grown men. They knew how to pray, right? They've been praying ever since they were kids in the synagogue, in the temple. They knew how to pray, but something was different. Something was different about the way that John the Baptist prayed. Something was different about the way that Jesus prayed. Number one, he did it often. Jesus in prayer often. Gospel of Luke records it many, many times. Jesus in prayer. Jesus going away to prayer. Jesus being away in a certain place to pray. Yes, he prayed out loud. But he made it a habit of his life to pray. It wasn't just a thing he did. It wasn't just an act that he did. It was a way of life. Prayer is not a thing that you do. It's a way you live your life. And this is what Jesus did. That's what was different. That's why they asked him how to pray. Let's look at this a little bit more closely. Let's break it down line by line. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. What is that? Well, it's adoration. That may be a big word. It's worship. It's our posture to the creator of the universe. We're falling down before him, acknowledging he is our God and he is holy. We are not. He is. That's where the prayer starts. That sets the stage. That's where our posture and focus is supposed to be. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's that all about? Well, you may not resonate with the word consecration. You might not use that every day. But that's surrender. That's saying, God, I know you've got a kingdom and you've got a will, but I'm going to submit myself to you, to that kingdom and will. That's kind of a turning point in this prayer. God, you're holy. I submit myself to you and to your ways, to your purpose, to your plan. Now we get into the ask. Now we get into, God, give us this day our daily bread. Provide my needs. God, I know that you've equipped me to provide needs, but provide those needs I can't provide. Daily needs, bread, food on the table, Gucci shoes. How many of you think it's okay to pray for Gucci shoes? Even the little strappy things, things with strappy. Here's one, two. Okay. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah. Really? Okay. All right. How many thinks, no, no way. All right. You think I'm going to answer this question? Look, here's the deal. If you can get to the part of holy God, I submit my will to you, and here are my needs. If that includes Gucci shoes with little strappy things, yeah. Who knows? Who knows how God might use those little strappy things? I don't know. That's up to you. That's between you and your holy God. You may forget this part of the prayer. It says, forgive me of my sins. And then forgive others who have sinned against me. Look, I thought Jesus already died on the cross for my sins. That's over with, right? Yeah, it's over with from the standpoint of he's paid the price for my sin, but I still mess up. I still sin. If I'm praying to a holy God, there's this process that's going on. He's purifying my heart, my soul. You know, transformation, we talk about transformation a lot. He's transforming me into his image. A lot of fancy words for that. Sanctification, whatever you want to use. But I need to clear my heart in front of holy God. And if that's not tough enough, I got to forgive you guys if you sin against me. And I said that in the first person, but now you interject that to the people around you. I got to forgive him. I got to forgive her. I can't do that. That'd take a miracle to do that. Yes. Yes. And that's why you're praying that prayer. Because it's going to take a miracle to forgive others around you. That's what is there. This isn't just a model prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Not just a model prayer. It's actually a process. And the sequence here is important from Holy God to forgive me. It becomes a practice. It becomes a way of living your life. Because prayer is not just a thing you do. It's a way you live your life. He goes on. We're going to go to verse 5. Verse 5, Matthew 11. Then, teaching them more about prayer, he used the story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You said to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit. I have nothing for him to eat. Suppose he calls out from the bedroom, don't bother me, dude. The door is locked for the night and my family are in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though I won't do it for your friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need. I like this term, because of your shameless persistence. Now, your version may have a different form of that, but the idea here is persistence. Jesus is not just teaching about our posture, he's also teaching about God's character. Number one, your heavenly dad wants to hear from you. He doesn't get bored from hearing your request. He definitely loves you more than your neighbor. He wants to meet your needs. He wants you to express your needs. These were real needs that this guy had. It's late at night. He had friends coming. In Jerusalem, Taco Bell's closed. If it's on Saturday, they're not open at all, right? It's a Sabbath. So what do you do? This is a need he couldn't provide. He's calling to God, asking for help. That's what we do. We ask God for help because of needs that we can't provide. That's what he's doing. Persistence is the word here. Persistence, what's that verse? Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Keep praying. Keep praying. Not on-demand prayer. Not genie prayer. Not obnoxious prayer, but reverent prayer. The persistent prayer. I love this quote from William McGill. It says this. The value of persistent prayer is not that God will hear us, but we will finally hear God. See how he turns that around, okay? All right, so I'm a dad. I've got 2 daughters. Any dads here? Yes. Any moms here? Yes. Any sons or daughters here? Yes. Is that everybody? Yes. Okay. So I'm a dad, and I want to hear from my daughters when they're growing up, right? But I found that they don't necessarily want to tell me everything. And I'm okay with that. although I wanted to hear from them more, right? I want to hear from them. Even today, I want to hear from them. But did you ever get those calls? And sometimes they were late at night. It went something like this. Dad, don't freak out. But I got in a car wreck, It's just a little bump and everything. Oh, here's the wrecker here. Oh, I got to go. Help, Dad. Help. Thank you. Bye. Ever get those calls? Ever make one of those calls? Yeah. How about this one? Dad, a cop pulled me over. What do I do? Help. So the taillight was out. And I knew this, but I didn't think that the cop would pull her over or anything like that. But I still get grief from her on that. Yeah, I should have fixed the taillight. She didn't get a ticket, so it's all good, right? Wouldn't it be nice to get calls from sons and daughters when there wasn't a crisis? Don't you think your heavenly dad would like to get a call from you when there's not a crisis? Yeah, he's there for the crisis. He's there. But hey, Dad, just checking in. Things are good. Thank you. Those kind of calls. Why don't we make those kind of calls? Why don't our kids make those kind of calls? Now let's get back to you. Why don't you make those kind of calls to your heavenly dad? Well, I think we have some connection issues at times. We have some connection issues. We're not connecting. Something's simmering or brewing in our mind that, you know, these thoughts, these dark thoughts. I don't know if prayer really works. I don't know if I'm deserving of an answer. I don't know God's will. I don't know if I pray very well. Well, these are real issues, but these are connection issues, and they're things that shouldn't be in our mind. How do we get those things out of our mind? How do we deal with that? Fortunately, we have a remedy for that. And the remedy, God says, is to pray. That's the remedy. The very thing you're reluctant to do is the very thing that you need to do. Not because it's God's will. Yes, we know it's God's will. It's a command. Yeah. Do it. But there's some things that go on when you pray. I don't want to talk about this. God remedies these things that go on in our mind through prayer, not just the act of prayer, the process of prayer. Because the Word of God, you have the Word of God, you have it with you at all times. You can read the Word of God. It gives the general direction of will for us. Pray, do this, do that, come to church, fellowship, those things. We're caught up usually in the specifics, right? Gucci shoes or not, this job or not, right? Those kind of things, those specifics, they're not written in the Word of God. You can only get that kind of instruction through prayer. Prayer opens up that avenue, that conversation between you and your heavenly dad. It's kind of like this. God's heart is open at all times. His connection is open at all times. It's the door of our heart that needs to open up. It starts with holy God. It starts with I submit my will to you. That unlocks that closed door in your heart to the open heart of God. Prayer opens up the heart of God to you. He reveals to you his heart as you submit to him. That's how it works. It doesn't work any other way. That's the way it works. Practicing prayer, it will change your heart, change your life. Because prayer's not just a thing you do. Prayer's the way you live your life. My personal story, well, okay, let's go back 7 years. I retired as a something over at the city 7 years ago and was looking to move on and praying for God for guidance, right? And so I retired from that position, took some time off, took a whole year off, spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time reading, okay? A lot of time traveling with Serena and just spending time catching up on things in life. And I'd heard read a book. I think I'd heard a sermon about the Lord's Prayer. And I said, you know what? I'm going to incorporate the Lord's Prayer in my daily prayer life. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do the King James version of it, but I'm going to do something like that and go through that every day of my life for the next year. And something amazing happened when I did that. Perspective broadened. Wasn't just about me, but what's on God's heart. resilience. God built resilience in me. And have we had a need to be resilient over the last 6 or 7 years? God was preparing my heart for that. How about patience? God was giving me patience. And I'm not talking about general patience. I'm still working on that. But I'm talking about patience in prayer. You know, during those times of silence. Those times. Patience. Building up resilience, patience, but also just reverence for a holy God. Because that really frames the whole prayer. Was a game changer. Not suggesting you do that, but I challenge you to do that or something like it. I've got another quote here from this great saint, Julian of Norwich. She said this, The whole reason why we pray is to be united in the vision and contemplation of God to whom we pray. It's His vision. We're connecting to it. How about some next steps? What can you be doing? What can I be doing? Well, the first one is easy. Pray. Because that is the remedy for whatever these connection issues that are going on with you. Pray. Pray often. Pray without stopping. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray with someone. Let's go back to praying. Pray all the time. What would happen? What would happen if you actually did that? What would happen if you started your day in prayer? Something like this. You think things would change? Try it. Pray with someone, a friend. Pray with a family member. Join a life group. We do life together. If you're not joined a life group, join one. We pray together. We eat together. We do devotions together. We fellowship together. We have fun together. It's a time of prayer as well. Pray together. How about come to prayer and praise night? Just so happens, it's tonight, right here, 6 o'clock. Want to learn how to pray? Pray. Want to be with people that do pray? Want to just observe and see what's going on? Right here, 6 o'clock. Have someone lead someone in prayer. Milestones in my life were people leading me in prayer. Lead someone in prayer. The person at Starbucks, your family member, friend, someone at work. I have two people at my house that lead me through prayer. That's my wife, Serena, and my daughter, Kara. They faithfully remind me and point me to prayer all the time. I have people in my life like that. If you don't have people in your life like that, maybe you can be the people. Maybe you can be that person to point someone else to prayer in your life. Wouldn't it be totally amazing if you could see God's perspective of your prayers? What if you could see that? What if you could peek behind the scenes and get a perspective of prayer? So I'm going to give you a picture here of a scoreboard. Now, I'm not suggesting that God uses a scoreboard, but I'm pretty sure that at times we look at it like that. We look at it like a scoreboard. In our scoreboard, we have two columns, wins and losses. I prayed this, win. I prayed this, silence, that's a loss. I prayed this, win, was answered. I prayed this, silence, no, loss. I don't think God, if He had a scoreboard, and He doesn't. I don't think He has a scoreboard, but if He did, it would look dramatically different. God's scoreboard, one column, win. He prayed, win. She prayed, win. All wins. Some notations in the margin. Not yet. Not quite yet. Another notation. Needs some realignment. Just a little bit of realignment. Need to get in alignment. Another notation. I'm going to knock her socks off so that what she prayed for is going to be some totally different than what she thought. And yet one other. Need some grace. Need some comfort. Your Heavenly Dad is wanting to hear from you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are holy. Pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done. On earth as it is in heaven, especially with me. God, thank you for giving me my daily needs, meeting my daily needs. God, forgive me of my sins. Help me to forgive those who have sinned against me. God, don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For yours is the power and the kingdom and glory forever. Amen.